Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Habakkuk the prophet lived in a time of turmoil not unlike our own. He had a remarkable one-way dialogue with God, a dialogue revealing a prophet's journey of faith from frustration to the calm assurance that God is in charge. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue our series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Erwin Lutzer concludes his talk about what to do when the answer is disaster with this summary of Habakkuk's new faith.
And Habakkuk finally realized something. He said, "Never again will I interpret the silence of God as the indifference of God." There are times when God is silent, but that doesn't mean that he's not working. That doesn't mean that he is indifferent. It still means that the very hair of your head is numbered. Still means that he sees the sparrow fall to the ground, and that you, as a child of God, are number one on his list of things to take care of in the universe. He says, "I will accept," he says, "the fact that there are times when God is silent, but he is faithful, and he is working, and that he cares about me." So what Habakkuk says in the last part of his book, verse 17, we could translate it for our era something like this. "And though the refrigerator is empty, and though I may lose my job, or perhaps have," because that's exactly what Habakkuk is saying, the only means of livelihood was what grew, and of course the animals in the field. "Though things should turn against me and what I have planned not come to pass, yet I will rejoice in the Lord my God. I will take joy in the God of my salvation, for the Lord God is my strength. And I will go on believing and trusting no matter what." That's what the prophet is saying. And so it comes down to this. Do you believe in the care of God and the control of God? Do you believe that when God puts us through the kiln, through the furnace, that he keeps his hand on the thermostat, and therefore we can be assured that nothing is happening randomly? It is directed toward an appointed end. We have to understand that God is on a different timetable. God was saying, "Habakkuk, you're absolutely right about my holiness. You're right about my justice. You're wrong about the issue of time, because I'm on a different schedule than you are." William Cooper struggled with insanity and tried to commit suicide. You say, "Well, who was he?" He was the man who gave us the wonderful line that God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He also wrote the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." I mention that because there are people who are genuinely saved who struggle with perhaps mental illness, with depression, with a sense of hopelessness. That's why, by the way, we need the church. That's why we have TMC communities, is because not a one of us can live the Christian life successfully on our own. And it's not enough simply for you to be here, though that's wonderful. You need to plug into our ministries. You need to get to know people. You need to become part of a body that helps us in our walk with God. But I love what William Cooper wrote based on this text. "Though vine nor fig tree neither their wanted fruit should bear, though all the field should wither, nor flocks or herds be there, yet God the same abiding, his praise shall tune my voice, for while in him confiding, I cannot but rejoice." God says, "Where you are, you can live differently. Now you say, well, Pastor Luther, I just don't see the connection. Now here's what we're going to do. In the next 3 or 4 minutes, God is going to bring deliverance to hundreds of you who are listening when I explain what commitment means. Because you see, here's what we do as Christians. We hear a message like this and then we pray and we say, oh God, I pray that things will work out. I pray that this will happen. And we're just fidgeting and we don't pray in faith because we keep praying over and over and over again and don't see anything and we even get more nervous. God says you're praying and that's fine, but what you aren't doing is you don't understand the meaning of the phrase commitment. The best way to illustrate it is the life of Joseph. Potiphar, the Bible says he committed all the matters of his house to Joseph, and then it says, and concerned himself with nothing that was happening in his house. Now, it turns out that Potiphar's wife tried to derail Joseph, but even then, Joseph was faithful. But here's the point. He so committed himself, the Bible says, to what Joseph was doing. He had such confidence in Joseph that he concerned not himself regarding the matters of his house. Could you imagine what would happen if we committed ourselves to God like that? I told somebody yesterday via email who's struggling with anxiety. He believes that maybe he won't be able to earn enough money for his family. Years ago, a young medical student met with me and said, I am so full of anxiety, I can't even sleep because I think I might flunk out of med school. I said, that's no problem. We can take care of all that right now. What you need to do is to commit yourself to God in such a way that you take the burden from your heart, transfer it to God, and say, God, you are fully in charge. I'll do the best I can, but this is yours, not mine. He said, I can't do that. Because he said, if I do, God might let me flunk med school anyway. I'm saying, yeah, but how would you like to flunk? At peace or not at peace? You know? You can go through it joyfully or you can go through it with, you know, it depends. Sure. It's no guarantee you're going to pass med school. But why not enjoy it? Either way. And he left filled with anxiety. I never did discover whether or not he passed. I hope he did, but if he didn't, how can you go wrong to simply transfer that burden from your shoulders to God in such a way that you say, God, as of this moment, I no longer concern myself with what is going to happen. Because that is your business, my confidence in you. See, what God is saying is, you pray, you pray, you pray, you pray. Don't you think it's time to trust? And when you trust, you continue to pray, but you pray very differently. Your prayers are filled with praise and adoration. You say, even though the worst time should come, I will still rejoice in God. You can't get that by praying. Just praying. You can only get it by that transfer of trust to God. Now, I need to tell you from my own experience, I know you can't do this in this meeting. You can start. What you need to do is to take out an hour, at least, minimally, maybe longer, when you're alone with God. And then you say, God, I'm here for serious, serious business because I can't bear these burdens and you never intended me to. So what I'm going to do is I maybe get down on the floor in your face before God in silence. And by the way, if you were not here last week and you did not get one of those bulletin inserts, those cards that tell you how to seek God, we do have some extra ones over at the connection corner, I understand. But what you do is you say, God, I'm going to spend time in silence. I'm going to agree with you about everything and I'm going to make a commitment of my life and my future to God that is so complete. Oh, I'll tell you, there's going to be a struggle. The devil's going to be there and saying, yeah, but what if God doesn't come through? Yeah, but you know, you have to look out for yourself, the whole thing. Stay there as long as you need to. Bring your lunch, unless you want to fast. And leave it in God's hands. So that you can say, even if the fig tree doesn't blossom, even if the crop fails, even if my job is curtailed, even if there isn't enough money, even if the relationship doesn't work out, I will still rejoice in God, because it's not my burden. It's His. And then we think of the verse of Scripture, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Get rid of that burden. Woman riding a bus, caught a bus, heavy suitcase, scarcely hold it. The bus stopped. She was so glad she got in the middle of the bus and continued to hold it up. Somebody said, put it down. She said, I'm glad the bus is carrying me. I can't expect it to carry my suitcase too. It's the way we are. Listen, if you're on your way to heaven, you're on the bus. All right, put down the suitcase and begin to do it right now. Let us pray. Father, bring deliverance to your people. Bring the same faith that Habakkuk had. Because, Lord, we're going through difficult times. All of us have challenges. All of us have a future that is very, very unknown. All of us have issues that we bring to church and we keep in our homes. All of us have that, oh God, we pray. And I ask in Jesus' name that we might be able to say, though the fig tree rots, we will continue to trust you. Grant that, O God, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes I'm asked this question. Is it proper to end a prayer by saying, if it be thy will? I answer, of course. Because oftentimes we do not know God's hidden purposes, and ultimately we do leave it with Him. That certainly was true when Jesus was in Gethsemane. He prayed 3 times, remove this cup, but in the end, nevertheless, thy will be done. I feel so deeply about this because I've written a brand new book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? The subtitle is A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. Let me ask you a question. Do you know somebody who has left the Christian faith because God has not answered their prayers? Have you yourself been oftentimes disappointed with God? And I think all of us can answer yes to that question. How do we manage that? Be among the first to receive your copy of the book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? For a gift of any amount, we're making it available for you. And we do this because we are very anxious that you have resources that indeed help you in your journey in the Christian faith. Remember the title of the book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. We hope that you'll take this opportunity for you to reignite your prayer life.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding When the Answer is Disaster, the 4th in a series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Sometimes our prayers are answered in the negative. Next time, don't miss When the Answer is Denied. Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? That's a book that all too many believers need to read. A copy is waiting for you as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.